You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
At 7:06, it's nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, June 10th. Coming up later this hour, we will discuss the Medicaid cuts contained in President Trump's big bloated budget bill. Yes, they are cuts. We'll hear from the Wisconsin Medicaid director with one example of many to keep in mind when people tell you, well, there's no cuts in there. Let's connect some dots, shall we? So we'll be talking about that coming up in just a little bit. Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 WJFW is with us. We're going to talk about silent sports around some lakes up north and contrast that with a story we talked about last week about banning wake boats, you know, the kind that can kick up really big waves and possibly do damage. But now those bans are going to be tied up in lawsuits. And so we'll talk a bit about that with Dan coming up. But first, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well to talk to us about a day that might be the best one of the week weather-wise. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Unless you want to be out playing in the rain all the time, but assuming most of us would like at least one day off from the rain, this might be it.
This is going to be it. Today's the day. We've got a high pressure system down to the south that is slowly building in. So we're seeing some sunshine already across the state line south. More and more sun will work its way north as we go through this afternoon. I think the place where the clouds might hang on the longest is going to be in the Fox Valley, but by this evening, they will clear on out of here. We're not looking at any rain in the forecast today. It should stay dry. Again, this high pressure system building in. Now, it does want to hang on a little bit for a lot of the state tomorrow, but then we've got another front pushing through and another low pressure system right behind it. That, of course, is going to bring some more showers and storms late tomorrow night, overnight and into our Thursday. Of course, that starts the unsettled pattern where you have chances for more showers on Friday and even lingering a little bit into Saturday too. And as that rain and that cloud cover moves in, it's going to drop our high temperatures. So today we're going to go to the low to mid 70s all across the state, maybe even near 80 far west by the Mississippi, and then some mid 60s far northeast, mostly sunny for a big chunk of us. And of course, the last light of sunsets, oh my gosh, 9:22, we're hanging on to that last light. So much, much longer days. And then of course, tomorrow, very warm. We're going into the mid 80s far south to mid 70s far north. So nice and comfortable.
Very comfortable indeed. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy, 55 degrees, just over a half inch of rain yesterday. Hoping for sunshine today so I can be doing my lawn mowing jobs in Wittenberg. He said, yesterday, the weather felt like October, cool and rainy. I actually wore a hoodie to my dentist appointment yesterday. It was very comfortable most of the time. We played a little Sammy Davis Jr. last segment, and he said 1972 was famous not just for Candyman, but his appearance on All in the Family when he kissed Archie Bunker on the cheek. That was, again, just this groundbreaking moment in TV, which sounds really quaint now, but it was a very big deal back then. I wanted to ask you as well, Brittany, before we get to the Scotty Summer text to win keyword, whether you're in the coffee club of morning beverage drinkers, Mountain Dew, water, energy drinks, something else. What do you got?
Sure. I'm a coffee 100%. Now, okay. I never used to always be that way. It's probably only the last 4 to 5 years I started that. So it used to be some sort of caffeine, like a soda or an energy drink. Now I've switched to coffee.
Okay. I discovered something just a few minutes ago that actually works better than caffeine to really get you jolted, get the blood flowing. And that's when you're about to give the Scotty Summer text to win keyword and you have doubts over whether you have the right keyword or not.
Oh boy.
Because I looked on another screen and I saw a different word. I was like, no, we all use the same word. And so I'm quickly looking and going, no, this is the right word. And then I realized I was looking at yesterday's word on the screen for a different show. So, but I'm awake now.
Yes, you are.
Definitely awake. Didn't need the coffee for that. Rob says diet sun drop. Well, of course, because it was sun drop days. last weekend in Shawano County, wasn't it? So there you go. So thank you, Brittany. We'll check in next hour. And in the meantime, I'm going to let my heart settle a little bit and tell you more about this hour's keyword. I'm serious, man. It's just like you don't want that note of you put the wrong one up. Here we go. It's time for our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest statewide. Four times a day, you can win $100 cash or Brewers tickets, depending on which drawing, which hour. And every entry puts you in the drawing for a getaway for the weekend in Wisconsin Dells or Door County. Some gas money to get you there. There's a different keyword each time. I sure learned that today. If you don't have the app, download it in the usual places, Apple, Google, wherever. And then you have to go to one of the stations on the app. Use the text button and text us this keyword, and this is the correct word for this hour, TAN, T-A-N, TAN, for $100. $100 is this hour's prize. TAN is this hour's keyword. You have until the end of the hour to text it, and then you can play again at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. So again, for this hour, by the end of the hour, use that Civic Media app and text us the word TAN, T-A-N, for $100. Let's see. Tony says, Dr. Pepper needs to be mentioned. I don't drink as much now, but I used to drink a lot. I have to say, I don't know the difference between all the artificial sweeteners and things. I definitely am not I'm no longer a Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi fan, any of the diet sodas. But this trend of zero sugar ones, Dr. Pepper, zero sugar. There's Barks, zero sugar. And then the one I drink most often is Coke Zero Sugar. I don't know which one is different, but I am worried a bit, Parker and Dan, that maybe I'm going to glow as much as Alicia does for that 4 liters of Mountain Dew a day.
You know, that aspartame. The aspartame, I've heard bad things about it, but then you read more and it's like, oh, you have to drink 7 Mountain Dews every single day for it to actually be bad for you. Okay, so I'm just a coffee drinker. I just, you know.
Oh, I know, but there's plenty of artificial sweetener in my coffee too. I mean, again, Parker, what's the one thing I don't want my coffee tasting like?
Coffee.
The coffee. Correct answer is coffee.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Flavor that baby up, you know.
All right, Pat, yeah. What do you put in that thing then? Let's get it out.
My favorite is the peppermint mocha one. From Coffee Mate or whatever, which used to be just a Christmas thing, but apparently enough of us with, you know, a sweet tooth, they now sell it all year long. So there's usually a little peppermint mocha.
All right, so what I do is I do whole milk and I do some maple syrup, you know, keep it standard.
Maple syrup in the coffee.
Maple syrup.
Good. Oh, yeah.
All right.
I like that.
Dan Hagen with us from WJFW Newswatch 12, and when we were talking about stories that he's been covering or following up in the Rhinelander area, there's one that kind of ties in from a story we talked about last week from up in Burnett County, where two different landowners, out-of-state landowners on a lake up there, have sued because the local, I think, town board up there put in place a ban on these wake boats that are modified to give you an extra big wake that you can basically, you know, surf on, put your boogie board on there, whatever the case. And they're trying to sue to get it thrown out. Quite conversely, Mr. Hagen, you're covering a story about, I guess I didn't even think to appreciate this, up in your neck of the woods, there are things that are classified as non-motorized lakes, and trying to encourage more of what are called silent sports around those areas.
Yeah, that's right. So this couple from Sheboygan County were vacationing in the Northwoods for a long time. They bought a place in the 90s on a non-motorized lake. They didn't even realize it was a non-motorized lake until they had the property in their hands. The last name is Strube, and they've been here so long, and they've appreciated the silence so much, the serenity of it all, that they've started a natural wonder fund through the Rhinelander Community Foundation. And what they're trying to do is promote more silent sport activities. And what they're doing with this fund is they're connecting donors to investments in silent sports. This could be a bike trail. It could be a disc golf course. It could be just some infrastructure for a park. So it's just a way to kind of bolster silent sports, because there's a lot of investment in the motorized sports. I'm not an ATV or a UTVer. I hear it's fun. I'm more of a silent sports person myself. So it's just kind of cool to see, because Rhinelander could use more of this investment.
Oh, Absolutely. And again, it takes all kinds. And in fact, funny that you say that. I realized I saw a headline and I hadn't called it up yet. The new tourism numbers are out. This always throws me because National Tourism Day is like right before Memorial Day. And every year we do the story and we have to always say in the story, the new tourism figures are not out yet. And then a couple of weeks later, they're out. So yes, in fact, here they are. The governor's office put out that along with Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, that Wisconsin's tourism industry saw its third consecutive record-breaking year of economic impact, garnering $25.8 billion in total economic impact, or about $70 million a day. And again, all kinds. You need all of it out there. There will be disagreements over what you can do where, but I mean, especially up where you are, the diversity of activities is what's giving us that $70 million a day impact. That's a big deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, fishing is a big part of that. We got to keep our waterways clean. And, you know, Vilas County, if you've ever been up there, Pat, they have this thing called the Heart of the Vilas Bike Trail. And it connects St. Germain all the way to Mercer on these paved bike paths. It's really like some of the best bike paths in the country. And it's underutilized.
I love the expansion of bike paths. It was really cool here when an old rail line was paved and became part of the old Abe Trail running up along the Chippewa River here. But getting back to the Stroobs who are putting together that fund, again, mm-hmm. the Natural Wonder Fund, right? Yeah, Natural yep. Wonder Fund. And it's part of the Rhinelander Community Foundation. So if you want to learn more about it, go to RhinelanderCommunityFoundation.com. Nothing tricky about that, RhinelanderCommunityFoundation.com. And that's how you can learn a bit more about that. Although I'm sure I mentioned Burnett County. I'm sure there are other lakes up around your area that where these wake boats are and people hear about these bans and are wondering, hey, wait a minute, can I get one of those bans on my lake? I'm sure there's disagreements in some spots.
Yeah, I've been to some listening sessions from our local legislators, Senator Mary Felskowski and Representative Rob Swearingen, and it is like the most controversial topic. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what time of year it is. Just lately, it's been a lot of people harping on that because they've been trying to get some regulations on it, but there's been really no agreement in the legislature. So I know a lot of people are passionate about it on both sides. And it seems like it can be really damaging to a lake if it's a small lake.
Oh, yes. And so, again, a time and a place for everything. And there certainly are lakes that are capable of handling, you know, these, you know, wakes of this size. But it's not just that the wakes affect you going, let's say, left and right, but also going down. And if you're in a shallow lake, you know, it also affects the lake bottom, which stirs up things. And so... You know, again, we just want all things in moderation. When you have that diversity of activities, you make for a beautiful place to play, even a beautiful place to live. Dan Hagen does, and that's why he's doing the news up in Rhinelander at WJFW Newswatch 12. Thanks for sticking around a bit and telling us about the work to promote silent sports out there.
Always good to be here, Patrick.
All right, Daniel. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great day.
Yeah.
All right. Sports right now at 7:19. Not a stellar performance by the Brewers, scoring only one run. Atlanta scored 7. I believe that means they won. Yes, they did. 7-1. They'll do game 2 of the series tonight in Atlanta. Once again, coverage begins at 6:05 across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we do things here in the mornings, powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Mornings, powered by Up North News, or as Tony puts it on YouTube, powered by Up North News and an assortment of caffeine. True. Guilty. Well, except for Parker. It's also, you know, powered by water. Just
nothing
water.
But water, baby.
Nothing but water. Not even one of those little flavor packets, Crystal Light or anything like that.
No,
nothing?
And I'll tell you what, Pat. The water that we have here in the Madison office is not good. It's bad water. It's so bad.
It's
I hate
city
it.
Water. I know. I mean,
no, it's the like the water coolers ones that they bring in. Yeah. Like, it's
well,
not...
some of those, oh. You know, I mean, probably, and I'm not saying that's the case where you are down there, but some, you know, drinking, who thinks to change the, some of those filters have been changed since the Ford administration, you know, so.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's healthy. I'm sure it'll do you no harm whatsoever. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was on up front, the WISN TV program that is shown statewide on Sunday mornings. And once again, after the usual lines about, you know, whether he and Governor Evers can reach an agreement on the budget, he was asked about the big bloated boondoggle of Donald Trump's budget bill and its massive cuts, and asked if he was concerned about the cuts to Medicaid and SNAP food share benefits. And Voss's words, I'd rather just read them. I don't care to play the audio the way that he says it so dismissively. He says, "I'm not at all worried. I think there is so much hyperbole and exaggeration from my friends on the left. There are not cuts for anybody who's watching. There are not cuts in Medicaid. When they tell you there are cuts, it is untrue." And that's a line they continue to stick with, you know, including Donald Trump, who promised in February during a Fox News interview, he said, quote, "Medicare, Medicaid, none of that stuff is going to be touched." One day later, he endorsed the House Republican budget plan that cuts hundreds of billions of dollars in Medicaid, more than $600 billion. And of course, they don't want to stop there. You know, Ron Johnson has said as much. So have others. Kevin Cramer, the senator from North Dakota, said in one interview, "How much waste, fraud, abuse is there in Medicare? Why don't we go after that? I think we should." Senate Republican leader John Thune said, "I think anything that is waste, fraud, and abuse are obviously open to discussions," which gets us to one of the main points of this program about getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse. You, dear listener, you are the waste that they want to cut because you are not a billionaire. And so the money that you pay in taxes that might come back to you through Medicaid or through better schools or clean air, they want that money going elsewhere to the very wealthy as a tax cut. Not coming back to you as some kind of tax rebate, but actually leaving you and going to people much wealthier than you. So who all is in this waste, fraud, and abuse category? Well, Wisconsin Medicaid Director Bill Hanna was also on up front on WISN. And here's one example that he gives that I think a lot of folks can relate to. Let's give a listen.
I think we can look at and think about who is going to be impacted by what's in the House bill. Let me give you one real clear example that somebody would not be excluded. We know that individuals 55 to 64 are the least likely to be working and on Medicaid, but that doesn't mean they're not contributing. You think about somebody who is caring for their grandchildren so that their adult child could work. We know childcare is a challenge in this state. That individual would no longer be eligible for Medicaid. They would have to stop caring for their grandchild and go find a job so that they can maintain their Medicaid. I think that detail is really important in this conversation instead of broad sweeping generalizations that nobody will get hurt.
Exactly, 100%. Bill Hanna, the state's Medicaid director, warning against broad sweeping generalizations. Because again, when you do that, and you have, as a state report said yesterday, roughly 63,000 Medicaid recipients in Wisconsin would fall under these new, harsher requirements for work or for reporting. Basically, it's all red tape. It's more hoops to jump through under the guise of waste, fraud, and abuse. But that's 63,000 people in Wisconsin in varying degrees of health or caregiver status or disability or whatever the case, that would either have to go out and find employment or would have to stop providing the care that they're providing or fill out even more paperwork online or by paper so often that they finally give up and they lose their benefits without Republicans actually saying that they're cutting the benefits. what Robin Voss and the others are saying to those 63,000 people on Medicaid in Wisconsin is you are all a bunch of lazy couch surfers and that you should get off your butt, put down the box of bonbons, turn off the soap opera, and go out and get a job, you lazy hippie. That is the message from Robin Voss. And he can say, oh, this is hyperbole and this is lie. He can say something's a lie all day long, except that he hasn't told you the truth about something. He hasn't shown you if you can actually cut Medicaid $600 million based on waste, fraud, and abuse. I would like to see that. Again, just show that to us. Don't give us one or two examples, because in any example of anything, you'll find somebody who is, you know, wasting or squandering the benefits that are out there. That is not an example. Give us the example that amounts to, again, you know, that much money being cut. Because if you can't, then you're kind of giving away the game here and letting us know that you can't actually show waste, fraud, and abuse. But if I show you somebody who looks lazy, if I show you somebody who looks scary, and I tell you just to multiply that by tens of millions, maybe you'll be fooled into thinking that we're actually cutting waste, fraud, and abuse. They're not. They're cutting you. You are the waste that they need to cut to help their friends. Still ahead, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer, political editor from Civic Media, about the upcoming state Democratic convention. We will visit with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, and we'll give you another chance at hearing our keyword this hour in the Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. All ahead this morning, powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. A reminder of that Scotty Summer Text to Win contest keyword for this hour, TAN, T-A-N, that thing that you hope to get and not a burn. The keyword is TAN, T-A-N. Use that Civic Media app to text it for this hour's prize of $100, and you'll also be entered in for two of the great grand prizes, weekend getaways in the Wisconsin Dells area and to Door County. So again, TAN is this hour's keyword, and you got to text it by the end of the hour. We had Christina Lori on earlier, who puts together our daily newsletter here at Up North News. You can sign up for it at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Among the stories, Parker, is about National Dairy Month, and of course, we make a lot of cheese here, and not every flavor cheese is for every taste that's out there, but there are some folks who love their cheese, shall we say, pungent, downright stinky, if you will. And that would include perhaps the stinkiest of all, Limburger. You ever try it?
Limburger? I don't even know if I've heard of that.
You've never heard of Limburger?
I don't think so.
It is, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary here, surface-ripened, aged, and famously malodorous, as in smelling very unpleasant. It was traditionally in Northern Europe layered between slices of dark bread with raw onions and horseradish or mustard and washed down with good local beer. And more than one person has quoted that Limburger, you know, at first sniff, really is kind of the stinky feet sensation.
I'm reading foot odor is what I'm finding here. Yeah, that's
yet. There are people who swear by it, and so Food Network, as they list all of the iconic eats and drinks from across America's Dairyland, does a little focus on Limburger as well. America's lone remaining Limburger cheese factory is a Chalet cheese co-op, and they still make and distribute more than 1 million pounds of Limburger annually, and they're all located in the town square in Little Monroe. Oh, and I can't. I can't be too critical. I mean, I wouldn't try it. But I also know that we have come a long way from, just processed, you know, American cheese. You know, there's cheddar. I've now learned to appreciate an aged cheddar. I've really learned to appreciate an aged Gouda. I used to never want blue cheese, you know, put blue cheese on a hamburger or on a salad or whatever. I'm like, well, that's mold. Why would I put mold on there? And then, of course, I tried it and I liked it.
Pretty decent,
I love blue cheese on everything. So there, Limburger. That's the thing for y'all to try next is challenge your cheese taste buds for something new and see if you can go up the scale a notch. Maybe not all the way to Limburger, but
ease yourself in.
So. Yeah. So again, that story's in our daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony says, oh, I love Gouda. Yes. And about the Limburger, he says, sounds fancy and terrible. Matter of opinion there. We also have a Sunday newsletter that I put together. It's called, not all that creatively, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And on those Sunday mornings, you can get some of the best of what we covered for the week in news. But we also have a question of the week. And it actually came from something that we were discussing on air here with Chad Holmes. And Chad will be along in our next hour to talk to us about stories he's covering in the Wausau area, where there is discussion on whether it is time to move from a mayoral form of city leadership to a city manager. And other communities have tried that or maybe have gone back and forth to a city manager. And at the county level, there have been professionals who have been appointed as county administrators as opposed to an elected county executive. So that's our question of the week is, you know, for your city and county, would you want somebody elected, somebody local, or do you want to get above the politics and have a professional who's appointed? So mayor or city manager, county executive or county administrator. That's in our weekend Sunday morning newsletter. And of course, you can answer it by email as well. Just send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and share your thoughts on that. Coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network later today, Dan Schaefer is pinch hitting for Maggie Dawn. Now, Dan will also be with us during the next hour, but before he hosts and fills in for Maggie Dawn this afternoon, he's going to publish his latest column for Civic Media and the recombobulation area. And a lot of it is about the chatter coming up for the state Democratic convention. And he's going to give his take on some of how those conversations should be going. And then he'll talk all about it when he fills in for Maggie Dawn with his guest co-host, Angela Lang from Block. So quite the dynamic duo that you can catch this afternoon from 4 to 6, right after Todd Alba's show from 2 to 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News belongs to Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom with many newsletters and podcasts and series, not just this fine radio show. But here's a new one that they're starting. It's called Represent. And it follows Deja Fox. She's an activist. She's a political strategist. She's a digital content creator. And now she's a candidate. She's running for Congress in Arizona's 7th Congressional District. And so our Arizona outlet, the Copper Courier, is going behind the scenes to document Deja Fox's insurgent campaign. And so if you want one of those, peek behind the curtains, Parker, what's the sports version on ESPN? Is it where they go behind with a football team all season long?
Hard Knocks? I think Hard Knocks.
I don't think there's a question mark on there, but yeah. I think it's Hard Knocks. We'll find out.
Anyway,
isn't it fun? I love Stump the Producer. Always a great game to play. Anyway, you get the same version, but of a political campaign for this campaign in Arizona. And again, for that, you can search for Courier Newsroom on YouTube and then scroll down the YouTube page to the videos for the new series called Represent, along with all the other newsletters and great things that are there at couriernewsroom.com. We talked earlier about how Robert Kennedy Jr. has just fired the entire vaccine advisory panel for the Centers for Disease Control. What could go wrong, right? As we know, the cuts that the Trump administration wants to make are even bigger than that. And so here's the latest shoe to drop. This one from a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story. saying that 9 Wisconsin clinics could lose funding for HIV testing after the latest funding freeze and a flurry of grant-related changes nationwide. And the article says the Trump budget proposal for 2026 looks to make cuts to HIV prevention in clinics and community organizations. The high-impact HIV prevention and surveillance program for health departments covers HIV testing, prevention medication costs, and treatment for other sexually transmitted infections like syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. The Centers for Disease Control awarded $400 million to 59 health departments nationwide for this five-year grant, and Wisconsin, in the first year alone, received just under $2 million. The second year of that grant was due to start on June 1st, and while Milwaukee clinics are waiting on word about the future of their CDC funding, they're also trying to make plans for how to keep services available. The Journal Sentinel quotes a clinic operations manager for the Brady East Sexual Health Clinic as saying they were slated to receive $50,000 per year, but will use emergency funds to keep free services accessible while they look for alternative funding options. Chris Allen, the president and CEO of Diverse and Resilient, says the pause in funding undermines efforts to address the health disparities and violence that our community faces. And again, it just really leads to the uncertainty. We've spoken in the past with Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin about the ongoing efforts to slash their funding, which does not go to any abortion care whatsoever. It goes to the basic health care services that they provide in their clinics located all throughout Wisconsin. And these basic health services and now HIV testing are in danger. People say, well, if you got emergency funds, you'll be fine. They're emergency funds. They're going to run out. And so we can either, once again, depend upon the benevolence of billionaires who will eventually fund these things, or we can decide that that's a better use of our tax dollars than giving tax cuts to billionaires. The Journal Sentinel list of other clinics that are facing cuts from the Trump administration include Benedict Center, the City of Racine Health Department, the Eau Claire City County Health Department, Empowering Community Action Initiative, Outreach Inc., and UW Health. And again, in every one of these places, there will be somebody that says, well, gosh, there's so many places. There can't help but be, you know, some kind of waste, fraud, and abuse in these things. Maybe so. Maybe so. So you do what? You investigate? And you prosecute when you find it. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater or the baby's vaccines, as the case may be. But that's exactly what the Trump administration is looking to do. And again, not to save you any money. Not to save you any money. Just to make your life just a little bit harder. One more note from out of the Milwaukee area, the old Pabst Brewery in Milwaukee's Brewery District. And I bring this up somewhat for personal reasons, because for a very short time in between jobs in the Milwaukee area while Sherry was going to med school, I worked in the offices of the old Pabst Brewery. And, you know, again, just a really cool district, a lot of history there. And a lot of folks are familiar with the big Pabst neon sign, you know, in five big neon letters on a catwalk, basically, that goes between two buildings there. And apparently, according to an article in the Milwaukee Business Journal, the Pabst sign could be trading neon for LED lighting. The proposed lights would be laid out exactly the same. The Brewery Neighborhood Improvement District, which is the steward of the sign, is attached to the bridge that connects what are now the Malt House Apartments and the Brew House Inn and Suites. And I have to say it now, I haven't been there for a few years here, but again, there are few things more satisfying than seeing when you can take an old neighborhood and old buildings and fix them up and have like an entirely new neighborhood without having to get out the wrecking ball. I know I've mentioned the Walker's Point neighborhood in downtown Milwaukee previously, where, again, when we lived there 30 years ago, it was a dump. It was just all old buildings, old warehouses, and it is now fixed up so nice that you can definitely spend a weekend at one of the nice boutique hotels down there, great restaurants, good shops, and that's certainly what they're trying to do up in the Milwaukee area as well. So up there at the old Pabst Brewery, the Milwaukee Historic Preservation Commission this month recommended approval of a request to repaint the lettering, but they have not yet taken a final vote on the lighting, hoping that they would be able to do that, because otherwise, if you have to repair the neon glass inside, you've got workers, you know, dangling 80 feet up in the air, and a task that can cost a few $1,000s compared to the much lower, less energy using LED lights that could go up there instead. Again, tan is our keyword for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest, and we'll have more coming up mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network in just a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You have got one more chance in this segment to send the word TAN to us using the text feature on the Civic Media app and be enrolled in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. We've been talking a bit about coffee and other morning beverages, and Dan Hagen mentioned earlier that his dad puts maple syrup in his coffee. Alicia chimes in, Dan sounds like my dad. He would put maple syrup in his coffee too. Really? It's just that never, you know, honey in your tea, yes, but maple syrup in coffee, that's unique.
I believe it. I think that'd be good.
I believe this is our own James Kelly up in Chippewa Falls, who says, Dr. Pepper drinkers are built different. We're the only ones who will crack open a soda in the office at 7 a.m. with no shame at all. Yep, that tracks.
Have a little shame, please.
Nope. And on our question of the week, Alicia says that she says, I could see the advantages of having both a manager or an administrator and an elected executive, which, right. That's why we made it our question of the week, because, I mean, put yourself on a city council and which would work better for you? Or, you know, as an interested resident of your city or county, because I'm not saying there's one that's right or wrong. It might be what you have in your community might be a little different. And that was the point that was being made by Shireen Stewart in the Wausau Pilot and Review last week, that maybe in Wausau right now, it's time to talk about a city manager form of government rather than an elected mayor. Parker, I would imagine that you are a fan of Brian Anderson, who calls Brewers games on TV.
When he does it. Yeah.
Well, funny that you say that, because yes, the TNT isn't doing the basketball anymore, and I don't think TBS has really fired up the baseball yet. And I know Brian Anderson's been busy on so many things, but you're wondering, well, where is he? Why isn't he back yet? Turns out, because I haven't watched any of the French Open on TV, he was making his debut at Roland Garros as calling play-by-play of the French Open, including that longest ever men's singles final the other day, which went 5.5 hours.
Yeah, that's really long.
Which I've heard described as, you know, the best ever final for the French Open, which I would have wanted to see that already, because I don't dislike tennis on TV. I just don't seek it out. But if you like Wimbledon, I will watch that if I come upon it on the TV. Had I known Brian Anderson was going to be doing that match, I definitely would have tuned in, because, I mean, he is far and away my favorite play-by-play. Yeah. He's far and away the most talented play-by-play guy out there.
I like him a lot. Yeah.
But he says he told the Milwaukee Business Journal that yesterday he finally returned to his home in suburban Waukesha County, and in a phone interview says that he will resume his Brewers play-by-play announcing day after tomorrow. He'll be back on Thursday. He will be once again with Sophia Minert and Bill Schroeder calling the games. Jeff Levering has been doing a lot of the play-by-play in Anderson's place. Jeff Levering's been there how many years now? Five, maybe?
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. Probably as long as Valley Sports.
He has really grown into that role. And again, maybe I was just holding his youth against him when Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle started doing some of the radio work for the Brewers. And, Lane is now handling things very capably with Josh Maurer. I'm a big fan of his when he's doing the radio play-by-play. But I think Jeff Levering's done a really nice job there. No matter whether you're on TV or radio, but it's going to be really nice to have Brian Anderson back in there. It's kind of like the comfort food of Brewers play-by-play announcers.
Yeah,
like,
he's definitely the voice for a lot of people.
Yes. And I see Sophia Minner got some other kind of award in the offseason. I apologize, I don't have it in front of me. But again, just I really like her. No nonsense. Just gets the work done, and then conveys it in such an easygoing way to the TV audience. I just think we have a tremendous team. And obviously, we miss Bob Uecker terribly. But, these are just real professionals we have. I hear a lot of play-by-play, either on the radio or I hear highlights elsewhere. And I just think we're very fortunate here between what we have here. We've got, Wayne Larrabee doing the Packers games. Who I was a fan of his when he was calling Chicago Bears games. I actually enjoyed listening to Chicago Bears games.
That's hard
to do. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, when Wayne Larrabee was doing. I was so happy to see that he came to the Packers now. Anyway, Brian Anderson also talked about working with John McEnroe, and he likened it to working with Uke. Again, just somebody who is a real veteran, somebody who's very colorful, shall we say. Brian Anderson called him funny, whimsical. You never know where he's going. You never know what rabbit hole he's going to go down. He speaks his mind, holds nothing back. I had a blast with him. I really enjoyed sitting next to him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Parker Olson after his first week describing working here on the morning show.
Anyway, I don't remember that.
You don't? Oh, I've got
I don't remember that at all.
I've got it here in writing someplace. That could have been AI. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But he will be back in the booth later this week, so that'll be very nice. I was going to, but I think I'm running short on time here. I was going to share one more story I didn't have time to do with Christina Laurie, another one of the stories that's added to our website that she put in. The headline is called Wisconsin Dells Unveils the State's First Mountain Coaster. And what is it? And she goes on to explain this first mountain coaster. But I'm going to leave you up in the air about this, no pun intended, about the coaster, since we're coming up on the 8 o'clock news here. But I wanted to dangle that in front of you to do a little crowdsourcing out here. Because Sherita Booker, we used to visit with her on Tuesdays, and she'd talk about some of the most popular stories of the past week. Well, I'm gonna handle that now because Sherita has really enjoyed, and the listeners have enjoyed, her talking about events that are coming up for the following weekend. And so we will hear from her now on Thursdays. But I want to hear from all of you as well. So we're crowdsourcing this thing. What are the things that are coming up in your community this coming weekend, a parade, a festival, a dairy breakfast, or whatever, that you want to give a little shout out for, give a little plug, and say, hey, if you're ever in my zip code, this is the thing that you're going to want to do. So again, send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put something in the comment sections here, and we would love to hear from you. In our 8 o'clock hour, Chad Holmes and Dan Schaefer and the updated forecast from Brittany Merlot here on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.